Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, April 3rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, another Democrat runs for governor, and President Trump's proposed budget hits rural areas. The DFL field in the 2018 governor's race is growing. State Representative Tina Liebling announced her candidacy yesterday at a rally in her hometown of Rochester. Matt Sepik reports.
Liebling was elected to the Minnesota House in 2004. She hopes to succeed Governor Mark Dayton, who's retiring at the end of his second term. Liebling says the state's chief executive needs to stand up for Minnesotans at a time of uncertain federal policies.
I think Minnesota really can protect our people, no matter what's happening on the federal level. We can exercise our rights as a state to try to make things better, make life better for Minnesotans.
St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman, State Representative Aaron Murphy, State Auditor Rebecca Otto, and Congressman Tim Walz are also seeking the DFL nomination. On the Republican side, only political newcomer Christopher Chamberlain and perennial candidate Ole Savior have announced bids. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton intends to announce today whether he'll sign or veto a $540 million bill designed to protect insurance companies from costly medical claims. The reinsurance proposal is the legislature's second major step to try to stabilize the individual insurance market. The bill passed last week primarily with Republican votes. DFL Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach of Cook says he encouraged Dayton to meet with health insurance industry officials over the weekend to seek assurances they'll pass savings on to customers and expand coverage offerings.
To the extent he can get an understanding with them that this bill's going to reduce premiums, I think it potentially makes it more viable to sign. But without some kind of agreement that it's going to improve access statewide or that we're going to get premium reductions, I think it's a very problematic proposal.
The DFL governor sought public guarantees from insurers but didn't get any before the legislature passed the bill last week. The Minnesota House will vote today on a bill that toughens penalties for blocking traffic on freeways or at airports. The measure that is part of a public safety budget bill would make the obstruction a gross misdemeanor instead of the current misdemeanor. That would increase possible fines and carry potential jail time. Republican Representative Nick Zerwas of Elk River disputes the idea that his proposal is designed to squelch protests.
There is no First Amendment right to speech or assembly that occurs in the center lane of I-94. You cannot stand in the middle of traffic and block a freeway or close down an airport and say you have a First Amendment right to assemble there or for free speech there. That's already against the law.
The bill is a response to escalating protests after deadly encounters involving police officers. A separate measure to make protesters civilly liable for public safety costs was left out of the bill. The impact of President Trump's proposed budget may shock rural voters who supported him heavily in the last election. The wide range of federal funding sources it would wipe out includes a water and sewer program that provided more than $200 million to greater Minnesota communities over the past 5 years. Mark Stile has more.
The city of Tracy in southwest Minnesota has a problem. The sewage system has reached its limit.
Right now, we've been put under a moratorium with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Shane Daniels is Tracy's public works director. He's looking down into the problem, sewage treatment ponds that are too small. The MPCA slapped the moratorium on the city to prevent Tracy from pouring any more sewage into the already overburdened ponds. That stopped the city from connecting new customers to the system. And that's a job killer. Because new industry and jobs produce more sewage, Tracy was forced to put economic development on hold.
Pretty much put a halt to all that.
But the halt is temporary. Thanks to an existing federal program, Tracy is on track to start a roughly $11 million rebuild of the sewage system within weeks. The plan is to replace aging pipes and build larger treatment ponds. Once that's done, the moratorium should be lifted. And just in time. Odd as it may sound, a big company nearby wants to start producing shrimp, America's biggest selling seafood in the area. A University of Minnesota study estimates construction would generate 330 jobs and operations would produce 124 positions. City Administrator Madonna Peterson says Tracy hopes to land part of the project. But she says expanded sewage treatment capacity is a must if the town hopes to compete with other communities.
We have to do it. We need to do it. So it is imperative.
The city has already secured low-interest federal loans and grants that will pay for most of the wastewater project, so the project is safe from the Trump budget proposal, which would eliminate that funding. But the budget from the president, who carried 58% of the town's vote, would jeopardize the final phase of the sewer project. Tracy resident Rosemarie Brooks says the Trump budget is short-sighted.
Little towns do need help. They're struggling to make ends meet.
And there may be other types of pain for rural parts of the state if the Trump budget passes. Energy assistance, air service programs, and federal agriculture department staffing could all see cuts. The Trump budget does not affect farm subsidy payments. Trump supporters like Keith Scheid of Adrian say the proposed reductions are bitter but necessary medicine to get government spending under control.
I think everybody's going to have to take some cuts, and they're just going to have to accept it. Otherwise, we're just going to keep on running up the national debt. It's so high now, it's going to take 100 years to pay it down.
But Trump's budget leaves Medicare and Social Security untouched, even though the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says those retiree entitlements are among the biggest drivers of the national debt. The fate of the Trump budget cuts is anyone's guess, since even Republican congressional leaders are giving his plan a thumbs down. And that leaves Minnesota Rural Water Association Executive Director Ruth Hubbard optimistic there's room for negotiation. She says the need for federal water and sewer assistance is especially acute in the state's smallest communities, which lack a large enough tax base to fund major projects. In the last few years, small towns that even longtime state residents may be unfamiliar with have benefited: Hazel Run, Cedar Mills, St. Martin, Dalton. And Hubbard's confident that rural interests can educate the president on the fundamentals of water.
It really is non-political. I don't care what side of the fence that you are on, everybody uses water and everybody expects the wastewater to just go away. So we'll be able to work with the Trump administration.
That's something many rural and farm groups hope they'll be able to say as they work to preserve programs that benefit some of the president's greatest strongholds. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.